morning, Westbrook. My title this morning is Draw Near to God. When Robbie asked me what my title was, and I told him, he said, well, that's simple. And I said, yeah, really it is. But, you know, doing it is not that simple. I know we wake up in the morning, and usually Russ said, well, you know, what's on the agenda for today? And I doubt if many of us say, well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to draw near to God. No, we have what it is, you know. Well, I must begin this morning by thanking Pastor for last Sunday's message and the key to further understanding Matthew chapter 24. One of the first things God began to speak to me about when I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the end time walk that he was preparing me for. And Matthew 24 was a big part of that. And I always knew that there was going to be a mighty move of God before Jesus comes back. But I didn't see the scripture like it was presented last week. And yes, you could have easily got me into my happy dance, Pastor. Let me explain. Because when revelation knowledge comes to you, your body just absolutely wants to respond. And I was with him every step of the way. That is a key that we must have as we're walking where we are right now. Well, shortly after moving to Georgia and enrolling in Bible college, I was given a demo cassette tape from a friend. And these four guys had put the entire book of Revelation to music, and they sang the entire book of Revelation. I could not get enough of that. They didn't even have a label on this little tape. And over the years, in moving and so forth, I lost it. Probably don't even have a cassette player now. But it was the most amazing thing I ever listened to. I would play it over and over and over. And when I got to chapter 7, beginning in verse 12, my feet would not stand still. It didn't matter where I was. I could be in my prayer closet. I could be cooking dinner in the kitchen. And my hands waving, I'm doing around. The girls would roll their eyes and say, there she goes again. But I want you to listen to those words, Revelation 7, verses 12 through 17. And imagine as these words apply to us. And Russ, I'm going to stand still. I was reading it earlier and I was really... Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and feed them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That, my friend, is what awaits overcomers who have counted the cost and said yes to the Lord. You know, drawing near is kind of like opening a door and not knowing what will be on the other side. So you may be asking yourself, if I choose to really get before him the way Pastor talks about, what will God require of me? If we believe the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect for us, then why the hesitation? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says that if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And Hebrews 10, 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Those two verses convey one important message, that we must have fellowship with him and not settle for a Christian life at a distance from God. Why would we want to hold God at arm's length? He's right there, ready, willing, and able to lead us, speak to us, guide us, supply everything that we have need of. Well, this drawing near is certainly not a physical act. It is an invisible act of the heart, and God stands at the ready to meet with us. I wonder what it is that keeps us from finding the time or taking the time to cultivate that personal, intimate relationship that God is calling us to. Is it doubt? Do we really think he will meet with us? Is it unbelief? Maybe worldly distractions, negative influences, or is it simply just lack of discipline? What obstacle is it that keeps us away? I think we've found out that every obstacle is a stepping stone to a deeper faith, and every challenge is an opportunity for God to reveal his strength in our weakness. It is through the storms of life that faith grows. We all know that. And we all know that life is a journey with many ups and downs, but it is only as we're in God's presence that things begin to make sense and the peace of God begins to flow through us to still the storms of life. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find a list of men and women of faith that were able to overcome obstacles because they found that place in him and they were willing to press through and believe God for the impossible. See, obstacles hold us back from walking with God, but as we draw close to him and open our heart and learn his voice, he will reveal his heart, and then his way will slowly but surely become our will, and his heart, our heart, and sweet fellowship grows into a love relationship of surrender. Do you wonder what it means to really surrender to God? You know, maybe it means going to church, reading your Bible, praying, avoiding sin, or at least trying to, serving others. All of that sounds really good. In fact, it is good. However, I don't believe that is the definition that we would find in our Bibles. I think the scriptural definition is found in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It simply says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So trusting him rather than ourselves, trusting his ways, believing he will do what he says he will do. See, that sounds more like surrender, doesn't it? Turning it all over to him. Not my will, God, but yours. So, you know, we must learn to trust in the one who never changes. You know, in our lives, things change, don't they? All you have to do is look around. You see, everything is changing. But on a personal note, have you noticed your finances changing? All you have to do is look at your bank statement at the end of the month. If you've been grocery shopping, it's probably gone down some. As we get older, our looks change, don't they? Maybe even our health. So why not put your trust and your faith in the one who changes not, the one who is ready, willing, and able to help us every step of the way? And see, we're talking about finding that place in God. And I want to tell you, there's been several times in my life when the anointing of God's presence was so strong that I literally looked around thinking someone was physically there in the room with me. And I've shared this before, but I want to share it again because I need to tie it in with Matthew 24. So I need you to bear with me while I tell you about when Malin was battling brain cancer. And you all know how we were prayed. And as long as we prayed, he remained basically the same. Not really improving that much, but he wasn't losing ground either. And then that came that Sunday morning that Pastor had arranged the service around praying for him. And he was not able to get up and go to church. And so I called Pastor and he said, well, that's fine, we'll be praying. And I went in the other room and I turned on praise music and I began to pray. And I remember I had my face in the carpet, and I was praying and praying, and all at once the presence of the Lord was so strong, my hands just began to shake, and I knew someone was behind me, but I wasn't able to turn around, because the anointing was so strong. I thought, I am not worthy to look in the face of my Lord. And so I continued to pray. And then I slowly turned around. And of course, he was not there physically. But that's when I heard the words, let him go. And so I immediately got up and I went and I sat on the side of the bed. And I said, you know, it's okay. You can stop fighting, because I'm going to be all right, because God told me to let you go. And you all know what happened. A very short time later, God called him home. Well, I said all of that to say this. It was a hard thing to obey, but I want you to listen very carefully. This is what I learned. That the fearful ending of one chapter was the beginning of a great chapter in my life. And just like Matthew 24, when the disciples ask, what will be the sign of your coming? And remember the key Pastor gave us last Sunday. The Greek word for coming means presence. So the disciples were saying, Jesus, what is the sign of your presence? And what will be the end of the age? Two separate events. I believe this too may be a fearful ending of one chapter that we may have already embarked upon. Read about this deception, wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and so forth, and see if you agree with what I'm saying. But following that, by a glorious new beginning, the likes of which we could only imagine. Now I have to go back to Revelation's song, and I have to tie it in with the first one that I read. And I want to read Revelation 21, 1 through 7. All things made new. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And God is simply calling his church to draw near. Why? So that we don't have to worry about verse 8. Amen.